You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome to Encouraging One Another Ministries. And now, here is your host, Tom Jones.
The Lord reigns, let the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands. Angels shout, the redeemed have come to dance. To celebrate, He reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout.
Yes, good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom, and it is time to wake up. And again, I'm honored and humbled to be on the radio each week, and I hope I don't put anyone to sleep. But I'm honored and humbled to be here. I'm honored and humbled to do anything anymore, especially my age, you know. But thanks for tuning in, and I think you'll really enjoy the program today. I want to dedicate my program today to two people, the Lord and also Dolly Parton. What a special person that she was. Her music, I've always wanted to meet her. I came close, but when I was in Nashville, Tennessee one time and asked the Cash family if I could meet with her, and they tried, but she was on tour. So if you're wondering why the flags are flying at half staff, it's to honor the legendary country singer and the philanthropist Dolly Parton, who passed away on August 25th. She was married for 59 years to Carl Dean, and I remembered hearing Dolly Parton sing why her marriage lasted so long. It's really funny because she actually said this. She said, because I was gone a lot. And she was quite humorous, very loving, caring, very generous. I remember a long time ago, there was a fire in Tennessee, and I believe she wrote checks out to those people that lived there. So she had a very, very generous, heart, and very gifted, very talented. And she just was a lovely lady. And one person interviewed her, and they asked her about Whitney Houston singing one of her songs, I Will Always Love You. And they asked her, what'd you think about that? And she said, well, let me go over to my desk. And I believe they interviewed her at her house. She said, let me go over, I believe it was in her office. She said, let me go over to this desk. And she opened a drawer, pulled out a check. And the lady that was interviewing, I can't remember her name, but she gave her the check and said, look at it. And it was a $1 million check. And Dolly replied, this is from the royalties of I Will Always Love You. So I believe Whitney Houston just helped her elevate that song even more. It was good. I Will Always Love You. Reba McEntire met her back in 1977. I believe she wanted to meet her too. And that was at the Grand Ole Opry. And that was Reba McEntire's first time meeting Dolly. And Reba was supposed to sing two songs, but they told her before they went on, she said, well, Dolly Parton just showed up. Can you do just one song? And she said, okay. And she got to meet her, and she was quite amazed. And she looked at Dolly, and she was in a beautiful dress. She explained what she had on. Reba McEntire, this was not too long ago, she just admired her. And she said she had just had the prettiest dress on, and rhinestones that were made into butterflies. And she looked at her, and she said, you know, she's an angel. And, you know, we are to be blessings to people. And truly, that she was a blessing. And I'm going to play a song this morning, one of my favorites. I heard it when I was in the mission field, and I didn't listen to country music a lot when I was a missionary. And you know, I'm just an old country boy, y'all. And there's some country I don't like, but majority of country music I like, and especially this song, "I Will Always Love You."
And I hope that you have all that you ever dreamed of. And I wish you joy and happiness. But above all of this, I wish you love.
Love that song. And she wrote it, Porter Wagner, she worked for many years. And there came a time that she told Porter Wagner in the very beginning that she was only going to stay with him for so many years. And that was it. She was going to go off on her own. But she tried to tell him and he refused to believe her. You're not leaving. And she wanted to leave. She knew she had to leave. And then one evening she went home and she said, you know, I've got to write a song to sing to him that I'm leaving. And this was the song, I Will Always Love You. And I'm going to play it again. This time it's with Vince Gill and Dolly Parton together, and I really like it. And enjoy it.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So
that's beautiful. Well, we're going to miss Dolly Parton, and she took the gift and talent that God gave her, and she ran with it. And to her family, let's pray and for her family right now. And Father God, I just pray for Dolly's family. I pray, Father, that you would wrap your arms around each and every one of her brothers and sisters, Father God, the cousins, all the family members, Father God, at this time. And thank you. I come, like the one leper, to come back and say thank you for providing such a wonderful person that just had a fabulous personality, that used her gifts for your purpose and for your glory, Father God. And she touched so many lives, Father. And she helped people, Father, financially. She had a very giving heart, very generous, very talented, very gifted. I pray those that are listening, Father, would take the gift that you've given them, and then they would run with it, Father God, that whatever it may be, whether they're to be a president, the president, Father, a governor, a senator, a lawyer, Father God, electrician, whatever it may be that you've planted in their heart to do, Father God, that they would not be afraid, that they would take the gift that you've planted, you've given them, that you've planted within their heart and their spirit, their soul and their mind, and they would run with it. Because your word reminds us, Father God, that without a vision, my people perish. Father, thank you for just a gracious lady that I believe that America, Father, is mourning over the great loss of an entertainer and just fabulous. There's no words that can ever describe it. So we thank you for blessing our lives with her gift. Father God, we pray again for the family members, that you be with each and every one of them, and that may they sense your presence. And again, Father, we give you all the praise and the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Well, good morning, saints of God. Dolly will truly be missed. The first time I heard it was in Hawaii. I had a little radio, and I'd listen to my radio, and just it was the first time she had written, I believed, that song for Porter Wagoner. I believe the Lord inspired her to write that song just overnight. And the next day she went to Porter Wagoner and said, listen, here, I've got a song to sing to you. And that was it. I will always love you. And then she went on to do what she was called to do. And that's my prayer for each and every one of you, that we all would hear what he's telling us to do, you know, and we would run with it and do what he says to do, and not be afraid, you know, not be afraid. Sometimes, you know, I get a little in my own life, you know, the Lord calls me to do certain things, and you know, I try to stay focused. And I met a gentleman, my business partner and I, and he was sitting alone, and he said, can you join me for lunch? And I said, well, you know, I'm here with my business partner, but I said, why don't you just join us? And he had some issues that he, you know, dental work that needed to be done. And to make a long story short, I want to thank Dr. Agarwal because when he went there the other day, he had a couple of things he needed done, and I told Dr. Agarwal to build my ministry. I'm not bragging to any of you, but Dr. Agarwal said, no, this, let me do it. And I said, no, I brought him to you, and my ministry will help pay for this. So what I'm trying to say is, whatever God puts on your heart, you know, just do it. Because this gentleman went to VA, and they told him, come back in another year. Well, you know, this gentleman's 94 years old. And I was concerned that, you know, the bacteria in his two teeth would get into his blood system. So thank goodness for Dr. Agarwal. He's on, I believe, Ogalle, and a fine dentist. My wife and I go to him, and I want to thank him for helping me with this gentleman. Dr. Agarwal, I thank you. And if any of you in need of a dentist, look him up, Dr. Agarwal, and I'll try to look up his name and phone number for any of you that need a good dentist, because he has a good heart. And again, Dr. Agarwal, thank you for helping me with Marvin. He's a fine gentleman and really, really a nice guy. And he was in the Korean War, and I had to thank him. He wanted to thank me. I said, no, our country thanks you for serving. And so, you know, whatever it is that the Lord's putting on your heart, just do it. And I have a little song I want to play I love worship music as well. And I'm trying to find it here. And just let it minister to you. I also listened to this song when I was in the mission field, the Maranatha Singers. And I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
It is all about Jesus. And he said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. And are you living that abundant life today? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? I tell you, if you don't know him, today is a day of salvation. All you have to do is just say, you know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. All you have to do is just bow your head and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I repent. And I invite you into my life and my heart. And your word says, oh, things are passed away, and behold, I become a new creature. And so if you don't know him, today is the day of salvation. And if you know him and you've walked away, you know, just rededicate your life back to Christ. You know, maybe you've walked away from him. Maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe you've been discouraged. And I know I have, you know, but I didn't walk away from him, but I've been discouraged. Let him help you with that. You know, John 3:30, this is my message this morning. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know, I tell you what gets me into trouble a lot. When I look at that scripture again, John 3:30, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John was telling us that we must decrease, that he can increase. He must increase, that I must decrease. What does that mean? It means just yielding our life, giving our life to Christ. You know, we must carry, the Bible said to carry our cross daily and not forget it. That, you know, we just need to just realize who's in control. And it definitely isn't, you know, you're not in control. You can be. You know, when I get in control of things, I make a mess of stuff. You know, I think we just need to be on our knees as much as possible, because the greatest battles, and you've heard me share this before, are on our knees. That's one of the greatest battles. And, you know, just yield constantly. What would the Lord do? What would the Lord say? What would the Lord have me do? You know, our flesh can run rapid in our lives. I tell you, it did me. You know, after my surgery and being out of work almost 2 months, and, you know, I was just, we talk about God's love. Let God's love overflow us. Let his love overflow our life. You know, and the only way he can do that is if we just yield every single moment of our life to him. You know, and if we get into the flesh and rise up and we're angry at this one, you know, I got a little upset with a couple of my neighbors because, you know, I had to walk 2 miles and I was on a walker. And one neighbor just looked at me and said, well, did you have a stroke? I said, no, I didn't have a stroke. I had back surgery. And then I never saw him after that, you know. And then the next door neighbor, I was walking, and I'm just being honest, I'm front with you all. I'm transparent, and the neighbor just stared at me. And I said, well, good morning. And she didn't say a word to me. She was right in front of me and didn't say a thing. And I just said, Lord, what's happening to your people? What's happening when you live that close to a neighbor and they just stare at you, not even offering any services or rendering any help? You know, Lord, fire us up. Fire us all up. And I had to just forgive her. And you know what? I had to move on because I want more of his love. I want to be red hot with God's love. And that's what I want you to do. That's why I come here every week, to encourage you to draw closer to him. As he said, I will draw near to you. Just draw near to him. You know, draw near to him. The scriptures tell us, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. But if we get away from his presence, if we get away from him and get away from the word of God, get away from reading the word of God, getting away from praying, we're going to be in trouble. I'm telling you what, our minds will run rampant. You know, and we'll start feeling sorry and we'll start becoming angry. And Lord, help us. Help our sneaking thinking. Lord, at least help me. I don't know about you that are listening, but I run into, you know, I tell you what, you know, if you could look at me through your spiritual eyes, and I'm being honest with you, if you could look at me, you would see a spiritual sign in front of my life. And you know what it says? I think you've all heard me share this. That spiritual sign says under construction by God daily. You know, I'm under construction every day, you know, by God. And that's what I want each and every one of you to do, is just be under construction. Let him do what he wants to do. Yield your life to him more and more each and every moment that you wake up. Know that he's in control when you're not. You know, he said, I've not seen the righteous nor their seed begging for bread. He also will provide for us, as he did the children of Israel. You know, they were out in the wilderness for how many years? And, you know, he provided manna and quail and water, and they still grumbled. I think it got to the point where God says, your people are, what was the scripture, stiff-necked. He said, your people are stiff-necked. And are we down here stiff-necked towards God? You know, are we grumbling and complaining? Are we just like I was? You know, I'm not used to this. I'm not used to not working for 2 months. And so, you know, the pain has been a little challenging for me, and the walking has been challenging. And you know, and then I have neighbors that don't care. And my focus got off, you know, and it got off. Because I was staying focused on, you know, because I'm an old country boy, and we used to help people. I mean, if you had a need when I was growing up, I'll tell you what, everyone called you. Everyone came by. Everyone had food. Everyone would pray. Not everyone, but most people would pray for you. And everyone, just like my grandmother, you know, when she got sick, the whole town rose up to help her. And that's just how, you know, I grew up with, you know. My mom always told me, don't expect blessings, be a blessing. And you know, Lord, help us stay focused, not have blinders on, stay focused. You know, and then my wife shared with me, she said, you know, don't worry about what people, and sweetheart, thank you for sharing this with me. And it was like I ran into a brick wall when she said this. She said, you know, you're too busy worrying about what people should be doing or should not be doing. You should be worrying about what you should be doing that you're not doing. And I thought, oh, boy, I just was convicted of that one. You know, our eyes need to be on Christ. Not that we can't, you know, look around, and but stay focused. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the joy of our job, the joy of our checkbook, the joy of this or whatever. It's the joy of the Lord is my strength. You need to know, you know, who your Heavenly Father is. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The scriptures tell us, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. And we don't even know it. There's things happening around us, and I think we're missing it because we're so concentrated on, you know, our really, to be honest with you, my stinking thinking, you know. And I had to repent of that because my wife brought it up again. She said, you know, and another thing, and have a teachable spirit. You know, that's one thing that I see could be lacking with some Christians that you know, they think they know it all. You know, they know the word. Most of y'all probably know the word better than me. But you can know the word, but take the word and put it to the heart. And when you get the word from the head to the heart, which I believe is 18 inches from the head to the heart, that'll get you to do the things that Jesus called us to do. And I just want you all to be so red hot with his love. And I just had to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I mean, he was doing miracles when let me tell you something. You know, here I was grumbling and murmuring. You know, the surgery was pretty severe. I believe the doctor told me I had 238 stitches in my back, and, you know, and couldn't work, and, you know, and couldn't put on my pants. I had to have my wife help me. She had to tie my shoes. I was felt really helpless. And then on top of that, my neighbors just stared at me and no one offered to help. And I thought, Lord, what's going on? My neighborhood, they all know me because I'm a board member and I'm very nice to people. I don't, you know, and that's another thing when you're a board member, you know, don't let the title go to your head. You're there to be a servant. And that's how I look at that position, is, you know, to be a servant to our neighborhood. But they just stared, and I wasn't quite used to that. So my focus was, you know, look what they should be doing that they're not doing, and they should have a heart, and we should all have a heart, and our heart should be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And, you know, Lord, help us. Remember, he must increase. John, again, chapter 3, verse 30 said, he must increase, I must decrease. And decreasing is just yielding more to him. Not my will be done, but Lord, your will be done. Your will be done, not mine. And help me with my thinking. Help me to be that blessing that you've called me to be. I know I probably irritated my wife, and she never irritated, you know, she never irritated me. She was always there when I dropped something. Wouldn't you know, when you go through things like this, and, you know, you always drop more things, you know, I just dropping this and dropping that, and I couldn't bend down. I thought, Lord, so it was a difficult 2 months for me. I have to be honest with you. And I tried to stay focused. I tried to put my praise music on, and I seemed like when I went out for a walk, because I had to walk every day, I just got irritated because people just stare at you and that was it. I mean, they just go on. The Lord wants us to be a blessing. Just remember that. He wants us to be a blessing, you know, and then we grumble and complain, and or at least I did, and I thought, Lord, I need help. I need to surrender, and I've had to put the white flag up and say, Lord, I you know, my stinking thinking's getting in the way. My wife's being so patient with me, and I'm looking at what other people should be doing that they're not doing, and my neighbors, and I need to stay focused on you. Because His word reminds us, the scriptures tell us, perfect peace, who says, whose mind is what? Stayed on Him. Not stayed on what other people should be doing. My wife was right. She said, your problem is you think about what other people should be doing that they're not doing. You need to be concerned about what you should be doing and you're not doing. And that's powerful, y'all. I mean, it shook me to the core. I mean, here I've been a Christian for so many years, and yet, you know, I'm stumbling. You know, going through a surgery, and I had a big hospital bill because the doctor wouldn't accept Medicare. And, of course, they did pay for the hospital visit and the putting me to sleep. And I want to thank the Orlando Hospital. They did a very nice job taking care of me. But I was thinking, not working, you know, the paycheck and this and all that. But God was doing things around me that just kind of blew me away. I thought, God's still with me. Some of you out there listening, you've been asking the Lord, and you know, you don't see anything going on. Maybe you're grumbling too much. Maybe you're grumbling and been like me, grumbling and grumbling. But despite all of this, you know, God has graciously been providing for me, and it's just miraculous. I just can't believe this. His hand is not short. You know, He came in at a difficult time in my life and, you know, helped me. And I'm so thankful for that. Instead of us grumbling, complaining like the children of Israel, when God parted the Red Sea, they went through it. Marion was the first one through, you know, singing. And you know, that's what we should be doing. Instead of being grumpy like I was, you know, we should just say, Lord, help me. Help me. Because I'm making a mess of stuff, you know. But I yield myself to You, Father God. And the way that I decided, I said, I need more time in prayer. You know, I can't do much, and I'm going to start praying more. My wife was right. Stop thinking what people should be doing that they're not doing. Concentrate on what you should be doing that you're not doing. And I had to repent of that. But I want you all to stay focused. I want you all to put on some praise music in the morning or afternoon. That'll help you. I want you to open the Word of God. And I want you to start reading it. Start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the New Testament. Start by reading because, you know, you want to get to know God, read His Word. Also, pray as well because the Word says, the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. I believe the greatest battles on earth that's ever been won is on our knees. That's the great, you know, because I kept saying, well, what about this, God? What about this? And what about this? And, you know, after my surgery, you know, I couldn't use my new truck anymore. And that was the last truck I was going to get till, you know, till I retired. And I had to give that up because I couldn't step up. The truck was a little higher, the little Toyota Tacoma. I couldn't get up in it anymore. And it would have been a challenge for me. So I had to have something lower. And so, you know, it didn't sell. We tried to sell it 3 to 4 months prior to my surgery and it didn't sell. But after my surgery, it sold. It was just miraculous. And then after that, my business partner, Paul, said the profit that I made off my truck, he said, we're going to pay your surgery off. I mean, just one miracle after another. And then I meet Marvin, the Korean veteran that needed some work. And all of a sudden, the bill's taken care of. And I could go on and on and on and tell you about the miraculous miracles. And I'm sure God was just saying, you know, Tom, you're stiff-necked right now. You know, look what I'm doing for you. Get your eyes back on me. You know, stay focused. Get your eyes back on me. And I'm being honest. I saw the Lord do things that I've never seen. I mean, the cash was down a little bit. And then my business partner said, here's a little bit of extra money for you. And I just saw things that I've never in my life witnessed, the hand of God taking care of,
you know, my wife and I and my finances and helping me pay the doctor bill off. And it was quite a bit. And I just saw God just come in, and here I am grumbling. And Lord, help my unbelief. And if you're that way, you know, just bow your head. Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that if anyone's out there just like me, that you know, are looking at people and what they should be doing that they're not doing, you know, and Lord, let us, Father God, stay focused. Father God, let us stay focused on you, and let us be concerned about what you'd have us to do that we're not doing, and be that blessing that you've all called us all to be, to run this race as your word says the race is set before us. Father God, fire us up with your love. It's your love that we need, Father God. It's your love. Fire us up with your love. Pour your love all over us, Father God, that when someone comes up and says something nasty to us, Father God, that we'd be that light into the dark places, Father God. We wouldn't grumble. Father God, we'd stay focused on you. And I pray, Father God, that I would never, never get in that situation again, that I would look at my neighbors and say, Lord, why are they just looking at me? You know, my problem is I wasn't looking at the Lord, what he was putting me through to trust him even more. And that's what he was doing. You know, he was putting me in a situation where I had to lean totally on him and nothing else. Nothing else. I had to stay focused with my life. Stay focused. And I wasn't focused. I was focused on the pain. I was focused on what about the doctor bill? What about my income coming in because I'm not working now? And Paul kept that going for me as well. He never cut my salary back once. And Paul, thank you. Thank you for blessing my wife and I. Then he also paid for a month of the radio. And it's just one miracle right after another miracle, right after another miracle. And I just pray that the listeners that are listening, whatever they need, Father God, they would stay focused. I would stay focused, Father God, that we would stay focused. As your word says, perfect peace is his whose mind is stayed on you. Get my mind back on you, Father God. Get the listeners, Father God, their mind stayed back on you, not their circumstances, not other people, not the government and politics. That we, Father God, would stay focused, and clearly our eyes would be focused on you. That if anyone comes up to us, Father God, and, you know, we get on their nerves, Father God, your love that's red hot, would just flow through us, Father God. That we'd be that blessing that you've called us to be. That we would touch the lives, Father God, that you've called us to touch, Father God. That we wouldn't just be hearers of hearing. Be just not a hearer of the word, but a doer, Father God. Stir us all up, Father God. Stir me up, Father God. And I repent. I really do. I repent for getting in just the time that I was just my stinking thinking. I call it my stinking thinking, Father God, that my mind would be renewed in you, Father God, that I would draw closer, more closer and closer to you. As your word reminds us all that if we draw near to you, Father God, you said you would draw near and near to us. Thank you, Father God, for touching the listeners, Father God. I pray, Father God, that we wouldn't have blinders on and couldn't see the person to the left or to the right, that you take those blinders off of us, Father God, that we can see clearly the things that you would have us to do. I pray for the listeners, Father God, if they're going through a difficult time, Father God, that you would touch them, as only you can do, from the top of their head, Father God, to the soles of their feet, that your word says, by your stripes we were healed. Sometimes, Father God, you choose to use doctors and medicine to heal us. It's not always a instant miracle. Sometimes we need doctors, Father God, and I thank you for providing Dr. Malloy for me and the listeners, that you would provide the right doctor for those that are listening. That, Father, we do believe in doctors, Father God, and we know you can supernaturally heal us, but what is your pathway, Father God, to heal us? Sometimes, again, it's through, you know, prayer, medicine, doctors that can heal us. And so, Father, take my attitude, and I repent that my stinking thinking got in the way. I never want to go through that ever again. The surgery, Father God, the one leper came and thanked you, and you said, where are the other nine? And Father, I too come like the one leper and say, thank you for healing my back. I thank you for the surgery, the surgeons, the nurses that were all around. I come and say, thank you. Thank you for the miraculous miracles that you performed with me not even working. Things keep showing up. And thank you for my wife, her patience with me. Never once yelled at me or anything. I thank you for her patience, her loyalty, and love for you. And I pray for my business partner, touching his heart. I just, the miracles that you performed, and I was grumbling. I repent. So, Father, I pray that any listener that is going through maybe the same thing I went through, that are grumbling, complaining, maybe they didn't have surgery, maybe they're grumbling about the economy, maybe they're grumbling about, Father God, that what they don't have that they think they should have. Father God, you said, your word says, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Whatever they need, Father God, I pray, Father God, that they would draw nearer to you, closer to you, as your word said, I draw nearer to them. That's my prayer, Father God, that we not stay focused on what we should have that we don't have, but we stay focused on you. And I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a great day. The word says this is a day that the Lord has made. We shall what? Rejoice and be glad. Didn't say grumble like I did. It said rejoice and be glad. So I had to repent. I told the Lord I had to repent after my wife told me that you're worried about more what people are should be doing that they're not doing. Worry about what you should be doing that you're not doing. And so that came loud and clear. I want to also go in the book of Galatians a minute, chapter 5, verse 27. My pastor preached on this, Pastor Malcolm, and that pastor, Malcolm, has made an impact in my life, a big impact, and he doesn't even know it. Every Sunday I thank him. When he's there, I shake his hand, and just like my wife, your words as you minister pierces the very most inner being of my heart. And he mentioned, you know, God's love. And that ministered to me. And in Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Whew. Boy, do I need that. His love. Second, joy. Do you have his joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you have peace? Peace I give unto thee. Not as the world gives, the Bible said, peace I give unto thee. Patience. Do you need patience? The Lord can give it to you. Kindness. Are you kind to everyone? Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness and self-control. Against such things, the Word of God says, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let us all stay focused. Let us have the fruit of the Spirit. The first one was love. We need to be red hot with his love overflows in us. Let us be so on fire with his love that when people see us, they're going to say, well, you know, there's something different about him. What is it? What makes you tick? That's Jesus. You know, be filled with his love. You'll never be the same. You know, you'll never be the same. If I didn't have surgery, the surgeon told me it'd be about 10 months to a year to 10 months I'd be in a wheelchair. And I just kind of asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please don't let me be in a wheelchair. I'm going to use the rest of the days of my life to encourage people. That's what this program is about. It's not about Tom making a name. It's now the ministry has changed. And that's another thing. When I was home, the ministry is official now, encouraging one another. And so that's what it's all about. Hebrews 3:13 tells us that we are to encourage one another, what, yearly? Is it monthly? Is it weekly? The scriptures tell us, Hebrews 3:13, that you and I are to encourage one another daily. What a day is still called a day. That's your job. That should be our job. And if someone at the church has offended you and hurt you, you know what? Guess what? You know, as Pastor Malcolm said, there'll be plenty more people to come and love on you. And that is so true. You know, if you're going through a difficult time, you know, you can write me. You can write me. My P.O. Box is P.O. Box 412168, Melbourne, Florida, 32941. If you're hurting, you're hurting. If you've been discouraged, someone's offended you, or you're going through something that no one, you don't feel anyone else understands, just write me. My wife and I'll pray for you, you know. And, you know, next week I'll give you a chance to call in. You know, there are people, if one person offends you, there'll be many more that will love on you. And that's what we need, more of his love. And that's by surrendering our flesh, our stinking thinking, at least mine. You know, I'm ministering to myself today on this program. I don't know about any of you, but I had to repent. that I was staying focused on neighbors, you know, would just stare at me. I was just amazed of all that I've done for my neighborhood. They just stare at me. And I just think, Lord, can you open their eyes? And if I get opportunities now going forward, I'm going to share Christ with each and every one of them. You know, I'm going to share Christ with them in a good way. I'm not going to pound the gospel down their throat. I'm going to tell them about Jesus and how much Jesus loves them. You know, in Hawaii, we used to sing the kids in Sunday school. I had two Sunday school classes I taught, and the kids taught me a song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. And they taught me that in Hawaiian. And it's Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. Ke ki kai aloha, ke ki kai aloha, ke ki kai aloha, ke aloha, o Yesu. So Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. So no matter what you're going through, don't blame him. You know, this is life, and life has its ups and downs. It has, you know, it has its storms, and the storms will come. And let's just all stay focused. Again, the Word of God tells us, perfect peace is his, whose mind is stayed on him. Not other people, not your neighbors, you know, on him. Stay focused. And I just got out of focus. You know, being in bed, laying down, I had to be on medicine, and it would knock me out. And it gave me an opportunity to just complain a little bit. And I don't want to complain. I want to make Jesus' name known. You know, I want to make his name. I want you to make his name known. You know, tell your neighbor about Jesus. Or do something kind for someone. But let's go back and look at Galatians again, chapter 5, verse 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Lord, let your love overtake us. The joy. You mentioned, your word mentions joy. Give us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let you be our strength, Father God. Peace. Are you at peace? Are you in turmoil? Patience. That's a good one. Are you patient with your loved ones? Are you patient with your coworkers? Kindness. Are we being kind? Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Lord, help us with these. Help us, Lord. Just help us. I think I really feel in my spirit that the fruit of the Spirit is just as love. Just shadow, pour your love over us, Father God, that we're not fine grumbling, Father God, that we're not complaining, Father God, that we stay focused with you. Because, Lord, I thank you for the 2 months pulling me through one of the most difficult times of my life. But, boy, did you come through. And those that are listening, if you're listening and you need a touch from God, if you need a blessing, I mean, if you need a financial blessing, you know, just do what the Lord tells you to do. Draw closer to him. As the word says, if draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And Father God, that those that may be listening, this message just might just be for Tom alone. You know, I just might be ministering to Tom today. And I'm transparent, y'all. I'm transparent. And I was that way when I was on Christian TV. I was not going to be caught up like the other people. You know, it's about my ministry. It's about this. It's about the books. It's about the planes. It's about the blessings. I don't want to get into that. You know, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about the cross. When he went to the cross and he shed his precious blood that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. And that's the assurance that we all have. We know him. And I tell you what, let his love flow mightily over your life. I pray this day that you would never be the same. You would not grumble anymore like me. You would not. You would be content, and you'd have peace in your life. You'd have that his joy in your life, his peace in your life, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his self-control. I'm saying ouch because you know I'm. Lord, I had to repent, y'all. I really did. And Lord, thank you again for meeting the listeners' needs for this program. I hope it's a blessing to each and every one of you. My program's about encouraging one another. It's not picking on you at all. That's not why I come here. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to look at what pastors should be doing, that they're not doing these evangelists running around and talking about this prosperity stuff. You know, listen here, Saints of God, prosperity. Really, you know what prosperity is? When Job went through the horrific trial that he went through, one of the things that Job said, you know, his friend says, curse God and die, get it over with. You know one thing, when he came out of that trial in his life, he said, I thought I knew God, but now I know him. Now I know him. And that's what I want each and every one of you to say. You know, if you go through a trial, you could say like Job, I thought I knew him, but now I know him. Job got really closer to the Lord. And I think my life, I need to get closer to him. And I want you to get closer to him, that the things and the cares of this world won't even matter. If you get irritated, Lord, just help us with our stinking thinking. Help us with our life. Help us with our attitude. Help us, Lord, just overtake us with your love, your kindness, your mercy, your peace, your gentleness, your goodness, Father God. That, Father, we'd all never be the same again, Father God, that we'd stay focused on you. As your word says, perfect peace, who says, whose mind is stayed on you. We don't look at politics, Father God. We just look to you, you know. We pray for our president. We pray for the Congress people. But I tell you, Father God, we just need to stay focused on you. And, Father God, you just help our nation. Help our president. Help the senators, congressmen, and those evangelists flying around in their $70 million jet. Lord, just help them. Help them to know what prosperity is. It's not stuff, things, fame, fortune, Father God. Prosperity is really knowing Jesus, growing in him on a daily basis, falling deeper in love with him. That's what it's all about. It's about falling deeper in love with him. And I'm being honest with each and every one of you, just falling in love with him. Well, my program's just about over. I think I have a few more minutes. And I pray God's richest blessings upon each and every one of you, the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you too stay focused. Get rid of your stinking thinking like me. Come to know him. Get closer to him. Fall deeper in love with him. And I pray that you would be that red hot with his love, that nothing will ever again bother you. You'll look at things differently. You'll fall deeper in love with your friends, your King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am. Father God, we again thank you for this program, providing for me. Everything that you do, I come back like the one leper to say thank you. Thank you for the listeners. I pray, Father God, I haven't bored them, haven't put them to sleep. Father God, I just thank you for being a big God. Thank you, Father God, for touching all of us in a special way. Thank you again for the Dolly Parton and be with her family as they can grieve, Father God. And Father, thank you for the listeners. We'll always love Dolly Parton, and we will always love you, Father God. Till next week, may God richly, richly, richly bless each and every one of you, spiritually, physically, and financially. Till next week, God really bless you. Treat you kind.
And I hope that you have all that you ever dreamed of. And I wish you joy and happiness. But above all of this, I wish you love.
You've been listening to Encouraging One Another Ministries, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us next Thursday at the same time for Encouraging One Another broadcast.